If you can't get enough of the Mixing Music Podcast and want three times the amount of episodes every week, subscribe to our exclusive content for only $4 a month or $40 a year at mixingmusicpodcast.com/exclusive. Happy mixing, my friends, and enjoy the show.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
In this special episode of the Mixing Music Podcast, I was actually out of town, so Lou gets the chance and the opportunity to interview Chris Brown's engineer, Patrizio, or he goes by Tizio, in person. The video will be available when this episode releases, and it's going to be a lot of fun. There's a lot of gems dropped, and just two boys having fun, I guess. We're grateful for Tizio for coming out. And if you're interested in joining and doing more with the community here, follow us and find us on our server on Discord. That's right. We're on Discord. We have about 150 members as of right now. So please join our Discord. We do mix feedback. We do live streaming. I do a lot of live streaming on there where we do live mixing for private sessions that I can't do post publicly on Twitch and YouTube. We answer a lot of questions. There's really a lot of helpful advice and helpful resources on there. So if you want to join our Discord, that is links.dkmixes.com. You can find the invite on links.dekeimixes.com.
One, two, three.
Hey, how's it going, guys? Welcome back to the Mixing Music Podcast. I'm Lou. Unfortunately, DK's not here with me today, but we do actually have Patrizio.
What's up, Lou? Thank you for having me.
What's going on, man? How you been?
I've been good, man. Just working every day.
Yeah, what you got going on lately?
Shit, I'm working on Chris's album.
Oh, shit, new album? That.
Yeah, new album called Breezy. No dates, nothing yet. And then just a bunch of other shit. There's a couple artists in Argentina that I'm working with that are pretty big out there.
Okay, yeah, I've noticed that you've been having your growth not just in the States.
Yeah, definitely. Like, for me, with Argentina specifically, and my family's Argentinian, mm-hmm. so, like, once I kind of got some success out here, I started to kind of see things that I was passionate about outside of, you know, what I do on a daily basis, which was to... you know, find talent in places where my roots are. You know what I'm saying?
So, okay, definitely.
And these are artists that, like, when I found them, they already had, like, 2 million, 1.5 million followers. So they had a platform already, but they didn't have, you know, the mixing, the production, that type of stuff from here. Now, what I did was I reached out and I was like, come to the States. I'll put you in with OG Parker, Smash David, with all these producers that are, like, heavyweights here in the States. And I think that'll kind of help you guys with their music and stuff like that. Even with the mixing specifically, because you got to think about it. These kids record and mix their songs in FL.
Yeah, like, especially nowadays.
Yeah, they make the beat in FL, and then when the guy comes over to sing, they just pop an audio track in FL and record the vocals there too. And then when it's time to release, they open up the FL thing, they level it out, and they print it.
Oh, shit.
They print it, and then it goes out to the market. And a lot of their shit I would listen to, it was like so much compression, like to the point where, like, the breaths, you know, when you heavily compress something, the breaths are like, you know,
they don't clean them up or anything.
Nothing's cleaned up. And to be honest, the breath is part of the sound where it adds character, but it's so fucking loud that I
sometimes
have to go
it's louder than the vocal.
It is. So what I'll do is I'll keep the breath in there because I know it's, if it was just a blank space, it wouldn't have that same,
exactly,
that urgency when someone's running out of breath.
I just had that with an artist. She asked me to delete all the breaths. I'm like, are you sure?
Well, I delete all Chris breaths.
Okay.
Like, you should never, I mean, the only time you'll hear breath is like,
when it makes sense.
Is when, either if it makes sense or if it's like coming off of a line where it's like, da-na-na-na, and you hear that like, at the end.
Yeah.
That's the only type of breath I'll leave. Everything gets cut out because what tends to happen, especially with a lot of stacking, and this is the reason why I do it for Chris, is when people stack and there's a, let's say there's four stacks of the main,
mm-hmm,
then let's say there's a four-part harmony,
mm-hmm,
which would be eight tracks because each note is stacked twice, whatever. So all those breaths are now on top of each other.
Yeah.
And you just have this insane amount of just, or the S's.
Yeah, the S's were for
me. The S's kill me. And not all the S's are always the same size. So you're having to, you know, for the S's, you can't cut them out. So you're having to sit there and you grab one S and that's your guide, right?
Yeah.
And then you start to line all the S's up so that when it comes in, it's fluid.
Yeah.
And then what I'll do is I'll turn down the other S's in a way where it sounds natural. Because that's the thing is, when you're dealing with breaths and S's, you want naturalness. Something that
Are you automating
like,
that?
I'm automating it. I'm using clip gain.
That's how I
I'm
do
using,
it.
Sometimes I'll do automate. It depends on what I'm doing. Like, I might be in the middle of automating vocals, like literally automating them. Mm-hmm. Like and then if I see a breath, I'll use automation. But then I might be at a point where I'm cleaning up vocals and I'm not doing any automation, so I'm using the clip gain.
Yeah.
It just depends on where I'm at in the mix. But sometimes I'll be like, holy shit, I just realized there's a ton of breaths in here. I got to go fix this. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, fuck, you know? So.
No, I just had that with the record. Like I said, it's good to hear that you do the clip gain and automation because I switch between the two
as
well.
It just depends on
but
the vibe.
More often, I think I'm in clip gain.
It's the same thing.
It is. It's just one's pre-processed, one's post-processed.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah. It's at the end of the day, we're getting the results that we want, right?
Exactly.
Whether I have to clip gain it or use automation, I know in the end it's going to sound the way it needs to, no matter how I did it. You know what I mean?
No, the artist that wanted me to take out all their S's, I mean, all their breaths, after I did that, they listened to it. They're like, it feels like something's missing. I'm like, we could have just automated that.
Yeah. Because it's necessary sometimes, but it needs to be
not
like,
always, but
it needs to be natural. Yeah. Like, because if we're talking and I breathe, it's very low. You know, I took a breath, but that's how it should be. It's about creating a natural sound.
Like, I know I did this the other day, but have you ever asked somebody to record a breath going into a line?
I have in the past only because of a punch. So let's say it's a line where they punch and basically it'll be like, maybe the breath they did originally wasn't good. And because they came in and punched that they didn't do a natural breath coming up. You know what I'm saying? So I'll be like, sing the line through. I'll record over what's there and I'll just tell them to do it normal. I'll catch that breath and then pop
exactly.
It just depends. I mean, it's very rare because usually I can find a breath somewhere else.
Yeah.
Or a stack. Sometimes I'll be like, this breath is nice. This breath has like a weird thing to it. So I'll swap them and I'll put that one like on a background track and then make the good one be on the lead.
I'll do that sometimes when we're looking at stacks, we're like automating everything. We're trying to actually comp the vocal. And then it's like, you know what? This backing vocal is kind of nicer on that line. Like, I'm going to make that one the lead line and bring
that
one back down.
Sometimes it's just like the is just, it sounds better on the stack.
It's like the delivery of the phrase.
But doing those things is part of like the engineer going way above and beyond to ensure that the shit sounds perfect.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? Like, the reason why I save all my takes that I do, even when they're not used, is because later on in the mix, I start adding high end and all this stuff. And I hear, wow, I hear Chris's chain in there.
Yeah.
Something, you know, when you're recording stacks
or you
stacks
hear like
stacks,
congestion,
you hear something and you're like, wow, you go into your takes. Oh, there's let me just grab that piece. Boom. You put it up and nine times out of 10, you're good.
Yeah.
The problem is when you don't save any of your fucking bad takes, because
bro,
the bad take isn't bad entirely. It's bad because one part got fucked up. Not the whole thing. Usually.
Yeah.
So that's why I always keep that shit, because you never fucking know.
So I know what the number is on mine, but I have to ask you. With that said, I'm a big believer, and you can ask any of my assistants, like, I tell them, even if you're keeping a take, then you're going to drag it down, but you still keep it in the playlist. You still save it. You know, I'm duplicating them over.
You make them copy the drag up and then still
keep it. Control drag.
Yep. Got it. Well, control option, because control drag. Yeah. Control option.
Yeah, control option.
Yeah, so they, even though you put the good take up, you left the good take here. And
exactly.
Playlist.
Just in case, like, somebody accidentally deleted it.
Deletes it up
there. It's still in the playlist.
Okay, got it.
So because of that, I know I have a song that had 752 takes total.
Yeah.
On the record track.
Yeah.
Now, obviously, that's chaotic, but because of like a target playlisting, it's a little bit easier to manage. But have you ever had like a crazy session that's ever like gone into almost
thousands?
Like,
I've gotten into thousands.
You've gotten into thousands? I have yet. I have yet.
What happens is things get recut sometimes.
Exactly.
Well, another thing that happens is if a song gets written and then cut by another artist in the same session, you've got all the takes from
the
original writer.
Yep.
And then now you have all the takes. So it can get to the thousands depending on the situation, depending on the record.
Yeah.
Depending on, you know, if he cut, like we cut, depending on the day too. Like if he's not having a good, the artist is not having a good day, they might, it might cost them a little more to get those takes. And you're constantly saving and saving and saving.
Exactly.
But I've definitely gotten to like 1024 and I'm like, fuck, I'm in the thousands.
No, I remember when I got to that seven, I was like, holy shit. Like how long have we been recording? And I look at the clock, it had only been like 5 hours. I'm like,
5 hours on one song?
On one song.
Yeah, well, and it's constant recording.
Yeah, it was constant recording. Like, nobody took a break. There was no bathroom in between breaks.
How big was the song?
So what it was is that we were cutting a vocal that somebody had actually made a reference track for. Uh-huh. You know, so we were really recutting somebody else's.
Yeah.
But it was not in the range of the vocalist.
So?
And we had to downpitch the song and all kinds of things.
After you had recorded something.
Yeah.
Got it. Yeah.
So it was all kind of weirdness that day. Like the producer was very adamant about not changing the key, but I'm like, yo, like in the end, isn't the artist the one paying you for the song? Like it's their creative control.
It's easier
in the
to
end.
Not change the key, but it's also not about what's doing what's easier sometimes. Exactly. It's about what's doing what's right for the record. Yeah. Another reason why you get into those thousands of takes is when writers take forever to write a song and you're doing line, melody, punch, 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 and they're not getting
that
line.
And maybe they change a lyric.
Maybe you go through 30 takes until they get that line. That's 30 takes just on that one line. And
do you keep dead air takes?
Dead, what do you mean?
Dead air. Like they're like kind of humming a melody or something, but they don't
matter
what
it is.
Yeah, exactly.
If I record it, and they don't say anything and they stay quiet and then they say, let's do it again, I'm playlisting that and doing it again.
I'll never forget the time. So, you know, I work with Keisha Cole. I'll never forget when I first started working with her, one of the things I boasted to her is like, I'll never lose a take.
Right.
Well, unfortunately, something glitched out on Pro Tools and it lost the take.
Uh-huh.
She immediately called me out and she's like,
God.
Yo, what happened? I thought you said you never lose a take. I'm like, my bad. And ever since then, I'm like, especially even more critical about it. I'm like, yo, like, really don't lose these takes. Like, please don't ever do that again.
To be honest, there's a way of doing it in a way, because you got to think about it. When you lose a take, right?
Mm-hmm.
Whether you did it or the computer blows up and it was the computer's fault, the take is still lost, right?
Yeah.
The only difference is if you're the blame, she's going to be mad.
Yeah.
If the computer crashes, who is she going to be mad at? The stupid computer?
Exactly. You know what I'm saying? So
sometimes, depending on the artist, depending on and keeping that vibe going, because you got to think about it.
That's why I always want to blame even
then. You want to keep the vibe going, and sometimes you have to just, even if it was your fault, you have to be like, yo, you know, I told John, the studio, like whatever, just blame it up. Because the thing is, although we should not be blaming other things and we should take responsibilities, there's moments and sessions where vibes can't be ruined.
Yeah.
They cannot be ruined. You know? And that's really because it's like, okay, you lost the take. Now they're mad at you. And now the song is not, they're not in the song mode anymore.
Yep.
You know, the take is going to be gone whether you did it or the computer. So you have to think about those things sometimes too. I'm not saying don't always take responsibility for what you do. But sometimes keep that vibe going.
No, exactly. That's why I'll be like, you know what? My bad. Something happened with Pro Tools and it crashed. Like, we got to do that again.
We got to do it again. And that's how
I always like say it, but I always say, hey, my bad.
For
just
sure.
Just because like, I know I'm behind the computer.
You say you're bad, but you give them the reason and you try to make it in a way where it's like, they can't get mad at that reason. Like, my computer crashed. What are you going to do? Get mad at that piece of metal? Like,
yeah, exactly. No, it's like, it's going to do a thing.
It's going to, and what they'll do is, like, especially with Chris, for example, the computer crashes all the time, especially with the way we
move. Because you guys are running on those like trash can ones, right?
On the trash can one, And if the computer crashes, like, Chris does not care. Like, he will not get mad. He'll just walk out of the booth and be like, let me know when it's back up. And then when he comes back, I'll be like, oh, the last line you were cutting, it didn't end up because we were recording, it crashed, whatever. It wasn't recorded. Bet. No question. Like,
yeah, because he gets it. He gets
3 seconds to recut a line.
Yeah.
Like, you have to be really bad at singing to be like, I'll never be able to recut it the way I cut it. Like,
man, trust me, I'm that bad.
But seriously, like, Chris, that's what I love about working with Chris is, like, I give him the reason and he understands. Yeah. I don't even have to say, oh, it was the computer's fault. I'd be like, Pro Tools crashed. if I was clicking away or doing something that made Pro Tools crash, whatever. He doesn't care. He's going to recut that line and we're going to move on.
You know, that's good to know because I know there's a, you know how it goes in the realm of celebrity personas to the public. Like,
right.
Some people think like, oh, what's it like working with XYZ? But it's good to know that like Chris is an understanding type in those situations because I know not everybody is.
No, you know what it is? It's the people that are newer to music that are least understanding. You got to think about it. Yeah. Chris has been doing this 15 years.
Yeah.
So, yeah, in the beginning, everything was a learning process for him, right?
Yeah.
But now he's to the point where, like, he knows exactly if the computer crashed. I know that's a real thing that happened. That's been happening.
All the time.
He knows that. Okay, from writers too. Writers are another one, especially writers that have like instant success. Like they write one record and they're on. Like a lot of times they don't know what goes into what we do as engineers. Yeah. So something happens and they're like, "Oh, this guy sucks."
Yeah. You know my favorite one is like, "Bro, you're moving too slow." I'm like, "Yo, I'm looking at a beach ball right now."
Right. Yeah. Exactly. That's another thing too. Is like, I'll literally, like, because Chris sits behind me, I'll just throw my hands up and he knows something's wrong. And not to be like, go. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So he'll know when I throw my hands
up. Is that like your cue with him?
Yeah, I'll put like one hand up and go like this, like, you wait, because something's happening, which I get the beach ball all the time.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It just happens. It's what can we do? So,
I mean, Chris has got to get to getting to one of your computers because I know.
Well, I'm trying to get Bryson to, but Bryson's building him a computer now and I'm trying to get it.
No way.
Yeah, I'm getting him like a 18 core.
Oh, no. Damn. Okay. I know I use an 8-core here, and I use it with HDX, which I think is what Chris uses.
Yeah, we have an HDX system.
Yeah.
Right now, because mine runs the trash perfect. Can, we have
the Sonnet the chassis or the Magma.
Thing. Yeah, the Magma. But yeah, we have the Magma, and then obviously like we have a UAD thing there. We don't use it because I don't use UAD plugins when I'm recording at all. Like, it's just, for me, a basic EQ and compression, delay and reverb that's like wave shit, whatever, is good enough.
Even the Valhalla shit. It's $50, but they're great.
That's what I use. I use the Valhalla as the reverb. But what I'm trying to say is, like, it's not worth running into issues with heavy
latency, loading and
all that stuff in the middle of recording. Because that's where you're getting cussed the fuck out.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because the thing is, like, telling them, getting that deep and being like, oh, it's the plugin, man. He's going to be like, well, stop. Don't use that
plugin. Don't use that plugin, exactly. Yeah, simple as that.
So that's what I always make your shit as easy as possible for you, and not to make it easy because it's easier when you're under extreme pressure.
Yeah,
you want that easy route.
So let me ask you, I asked this because you mentioned, like, because it's funny, like, I don't think I've ever mentioned this on the podcast. Like, we met because I built the studio in Chris Brown's house with London. Yeah,
originally.
London did all the construction for it, and then I came in and did the SSL and all that.
Right. But I feel like I wasn't actually working with Lou. I was working with...
You were in London on that one, and Lou was attached to it.
Lou was attached to it, and we wish it could have been the other way around, but it's all good. Stuff happens.
Hey, man, we still talk to each other. We still do things together.
Yeah.
Like, we're going to figure out the summing mixer thing now.
The what?
We're going to be figuring out this summing mixer. We're going to be doing some shootouts together.
Yes.
Yeah.
I got to get... Because, that's another thing is I've always been in the box.
Yes, you have.
And I'm trying to get out of the box right now, only because a lot of the... colleagues would be like people that are like of your stature, whatever, of your level of work, whatever. So everyone's like, yo, summing makes the decisions. No, summing makes the results a lot easier to reach without so much
work.
Just, and by work, I mean like 10 plugins and fixing and putting
exactly EQ, like you have to add EQ. This level of saturation and that level of saturation.
And then like, okay, we're EQing because this vocal's very shrill. We got to put an EQ. Cut. Then you put another EQ. Then you put Soothe on there. A lot of these things, when it runs through the summing mixer and it's hitting these analog components, a lot of that's getting rounded off.
Oh, yeah.
In the process. So by the time you're hearing your returns back in, you're mixing the vocal and you're like, wow, it's not all bright and shrill. But that's due to it
being
in the snare, everything being rounded off as it reaches the summing mixer and comes back in.
I think I've had like three in like the last couple years because, you know, different flavors, different times. Like, you know, clients want different things. But I've had like the Dangerous. At one point I was using, I think it's called the Sigma from SSL.
That's the one that Jesse's trying to get me to get.
Jesse Ernstern?
No, Jesse Pop Smoke.
Yeah, I forget his last name, but
I have
we got to give him a shout out. We got to make this happen.
No, I'm going to tell you right now, look.
But the Burl B32 is the one that surprised me the most.
Jess Jackson,
gotcha.
So Jess Jackson and I linked up recently, kind of like for the first time, because like he's obviously a legend in the game.
Mm-hmm.
And we've been in completely and like because of Clubhouse.
He's East Coast too, right?
He's in LA.
Okay.
So, but we've never met. I've heard of him.
Yeah.
He was supposed to engineer before I started working for Chris. I think he was going to be Chris' engineer because he was Tyga's engineer back when they had done the joint album between Tyga and Chris.
Oh, gotcha.
So what's it called? So Jess is there. Jess knows Chris already. He was going to be his engineer, but then I ended up being his engineer, and Jess just wanted to produce whatever. Yeah, blah, blah. Yeah. So everyone went their own ways. Jess is doing amazing right now. More than I can say, the guy owns part of Autotune. So,
oh shit, did he buy into it?
I know he's in that. He owns a piece of it, and he's
yeah. Because you know I'm a rep for Autotune, right?
Yeah, I don't know how you don't know this.
You know what? I gotta like, make a call to Henrik and be like, yo,
Jess about the bugs. Instead of calling Henrik, I'll be like, Jess, there's these pops, and she's like, I'm already on the phone with the engineer guy.
I guess Nick Cannon had like an upgrade happen at the studio, on Pro Tools. There was some glitch that made Autotune not work. I called Henrik for it. If I knew it was Jess, I would have been like, yo, this
guy. I don't know Jess. He does any of like. Henrik is like the guy that fixes shit.
Yeah.
Jess is a part owner, and I think it was a great investment, obviously, because Autotune is now on a monthly.
Monthly subscription. And one
thing about those monthly subscriptions is.
Yep.
That's the way.
Also, the new license platform is kind of a little buggy.
It's buggy. I would prefer they use iLock.
Yeah.
I personally. I know there's a lot of issues with you know. People trying to steal shit, and because of, like sometimes it can be like Acoustica doesn't use iLock because it's not safe enough for them. The good thing about UAD is you can't use the shit without the fucking
without
card,
the thing.
So.
But dude, Acoustica needs to come out with that. It's way too intensive.
I've already spoke to them about that.
Please tell me they got some plans.
No, they're not gonna make a. They're not gonna make a UAD type box.
Yeah,
from what I've heard, they're.
I mean, it lowers their production cost.
It lowers their production cost, and I think that they're waiting for when this M1 chip comes out and the processing goes from the way it is now to the way it's gonna be.
Mm-hmm.
They said that things will actually be, because the thing about it is Acoustica runs amazing in like other platforms. It's just Pro Tools that it sucks.
Yeah.
In what's Bryson use?
Oh, Bryson, Studio One.
Studio One. So in Studio One, apparently it's like fucking using waves. Like it's just like.
It just runs normal.
It runs really smooth.
So in Pro Tools, it's the only one that's really doing that?
It's the way the cores are in Pro Tools, whatever the fuck this shit is.
Yeah, because I think Pro Tools runs off of like a single core operating. I think that's what it is.
That's the problem. And that's why Acoustica, because in other programs, it's like people just have a bunch of Acoustica and it's not an issue.
Yeah.
Like as much as I use UAD and FabFilter and stuff, they're using Acoustica.
Yeah.
Which I wish I could do, but I don't like running into problems. Like I'll purposely not overload my session.
Like I'll say this, you know what I really like about the Pensado EQ that nobody ever brings up? It's the filters. Like the preamp is cool. Pre-1 I know is like everybody's favorite.
Yeah.
But you know how some people will use like DK uses a mix cube.
The mix cube, yeah.
Yeah. Which I just throw cubes. A Pensado the Reftones?
No. I got the CK speakers.
Oh.
He's the guy CK speakers in Canoga. He fixes speakers. He like
fixes but he has his own.
He builds them by hand, bro. And John Marie Horvat is the one that got me on them. He's like, you got to get these cubes. So I bought the cubes. They're $400, but bro, these cubes are different than other cubes.
Like, do you need a power amp with it?
You do need a power amp. You know Augsburgers, how they have like that foam around the edge.
Yeah.
And they have the screws, like the bolts that go in like that. It's like a microscopic version of that. It's like a miniature Augsburger. It's like well made. Like each one weighs like 8 pounds. Like very well made speakers.
Different? But they're in that same vein of like low mids and mids is what you're hearing.
Yeah, it's literally a box.
Yeah,
it's a tiny little. It's literally a Reftone, but it's not. It's the box that's different. Like the whatever material the guy makes it out of.
Yeah.
Whatever cone he's using is like some really high quality cone. He's like, whenever it goes out, just come bring it back to me. I'll replace.
I gotta call this guy. I need to hear this guy.
I bought the Augsburger ARX 400 amp from David, on the East Coast, right?
Yeah.
It's a bit noisy, so.
No, I mean Augsburgers tend to be.
Yeah. That's. I'm dealing with it. I really, I'm not going to cry over, like, if the one speaker's, like, hissing a little, like, it's very little hiss. But I'm not going to die over that. Like,
these JBLs that we got for playback for people, you know, everybody wants to be loud in the studio. That's cool. I just turn them off while I'm mixing. I'm just like, I don't want to hear them.
Well, the other day I was recording in my room and I turned off the Augsburger amp because audibly it's not that loud to hiss, but on a microphone.
So once you start compressing that vocal chain,
but the microphone picks it up a lot better than our ears. It's picking up all of the noise inside the room. If that little hiss from that speaker is amplified on the microphone, then so
I always tell people, if you want to hear what a microphone's doing, this is going to be a really weird way to find out, but just go like this. Yeah, that little coning around your ear. It's the weirdest fucking thing, but I learned it from Bob over at American Recording, not Americayan. Yeah. But
There's another place.
Yeah, called Calabasas. They closed now.
Mary Can.
Yeah, exactly.
Ray was the owner or whatever.
But there's a studio in Calabasas that existed since the 80s. They're closed now. No, but it had a Trident A range. Dude, it was so it's right off the freeway in the hills. So like they were in the middle of nowhere, which was really nice.
What was the exit?
I'm not really sure, to be honest. Like, I'll tell you this. When I was 22, I'm 29 now, turning 30 in April.
Okay.
But so 8 years ago, I was working for Greg Hampton as his personal engineer. Mm-hmm. And what was going on is, like, we would actually go to that studio to work with Bob, this older engineer. Mm-hmm. But he'd just walk around the room and be like, cool, we're going to set up drums today. And he'd just walk around like this the whole time. And I'd be like, why is he doing that? He's like, oh, that's how he's, like, amplifying, like, little nuances in the room. He's coning it all in. So instead of passing his ears, he's just funneling it in.
Right. He's which would be a microphone would be doing that.
Exactly.
Totally. I mean, if you do that, like, it really...
It's weird at first, but then I started doing that while I was mixing. I'm like, oh, shit. There's certain things, like, I wouldn't hear it unless I was doing that, but it gave me a different perspective for the moment.
And if you ever have, like, one side, you know how one ear might be clogged? Yeah, yeah. The clogged ear, you can, if you just go like this, it'll level out the symmetric
imaging. Yeah.
Just if you don't have a, you're in this jam, you're finishing a mix and you need that like symmetry, you could just go like.
Yeah, I know I'm prone to ear infection. Me too. I grew up with perforated ears because I guess I would go into pools and water would always get clogged. So
got it.
It perforated my eardrums as a kid.
Wow.
But it doesn't really affect my mixing realistically. You know what I mean? No, like we grow up listening to things that we're used to listening to.
Yeah.
So we've already gotten conceptually there.
Yeah, and I protect my ears in the studio. Like, when people are listening on the Augsburgers, I wear headphones that don't have a jack in them, so it looks like I'm listening to headphones, but I'm not listening to anything. It's just blocking it out.
I'll actually be using either in-ears or my AirPod Pros, and I'll use the noise reduction on the AirPod Pros.
Yeah, exactly, or the in-ears.
And they'll always be like, yo, isn't it weird that you have to, like, mix? Yeah, exactly. They're like, why do you have AirPods in your ears while recording? I'm like, well, you guys are too fucking loud.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to die.
Bueno.
Yeah.
They're crazy.
Yeah. Thankfully, like, a lot of the teams that I've worked with, I've had the pleasure with, if I tell them it's too loud, they're respectful enough to be like, okay, cool. Yeah, my bad.
Yeah.
Like, because we're tracking vocals. If they're just jamming out, I'm like, I'm going to go to the bathroom. I'm going to go get me some food. Like, right, you guys do your thing for the moment. Yeah. When I'm in the room, I'm like, AirPods, in-ears, something to protect myself.
Yeah, yeah, because you never know. They listen to it way too loud. And when it's not mixed, the snare's really loud. The hi-hats are loud.
Yeah.
The vocal is...
The S. Oh, my God.
All over the place.
No. So, I know I was going to ask you, because I'm not really sure how long we've been recording. This episode may be longer than some, but you mentioned you're going to be going to analog.
Yes.
You've always been in the box ever since I met you.
Yes.
But now you're looking at summing mixers. I know you're using the ABP from, or APB.
The APB, it's not a summing mixer. It was just it would be
considered it's like analog plugins.
It's like an analog plugin, essentially. That would, you put the plugin and in real time, the plugin sends the vocal that it's on or whatever it's on out through the Thunderbolt.
Mm-hmm.
It hits the green box, the APB box. It converts it to 32-bit, right? No, it converts it from 32-bit to analog.
Yeah.
Processes, and then returns it back at 32-bit back in.
Yeah. Do you have to run the session at 32-bit to achieve that, or...
Well, no, I think that 32-bit is the limit. If you're running 24-bit...
They'll just do 24-bit. Exactly. Okay, get there. Yeah.
But 32-bit would be the highest, which is... I mean, how did you want to go anyways? It's not going to...
I know you're running native. I run HDX.
Yes.
As far as native, like, what's the delay compensation looking like when using those plugins?
I don't really have any issue, to be honest.
Cool.
Like, my delay compensation, I think it's partly due to the computer, because I use the Bryson build, and everyone knows.
Yeah, these things are fucking tanks. Two of them. I have one in the A room and one in the B.
To be honest, I had my laptop... Like, I was using... Before I had the Bryson build, I had my laptop, and I did run into... a lot of issues with plugins. Like if I had too much stuff going on, like definitely issues. But with Bryson shit, I never...
No.
I mean, unless I have like 10 Acousticas and everything else and the sauce from fucking DJ Swivel and all that stuff going, then yes, you might run into like some errors. But typically on a 99% daily basis, it doesn't happen.
Like, no, what's cool is like... so like I said, I put a 12-core Mac Pro inside of the lobby just for my interns to be able to use, do video editing. One day we had a session that was booked here in the A room. So my 8-core Bryson build, Though it was working fine doing my mixes, when I brought the session over to that 12-core trash can, it couldn't load it at all.
Really?
Yeah, the 12-core has 128 gigs of RAM.
And it couldn't load
it? You know, 2 terabyte SSD, you know, it really couldn't load it. I had to end up freezing track for track for track until I could finally run the session.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so, like, that's why I'm always like, yo, like, using the APB, like, I'm curious as to how it loads, you know, like, only because it's such a new thing.
No, but the thing is that it does have the delay compensation stuff that issues, right? Mm-hmm. Like, it still needs to go through that. But luckily, the power of all that stuff is happening in the box. So, like, most of the work is what I'm saying. The workload is happening within the box.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes, it does deal with the delay compensation thing because it is sending and returning in real time.
Yeah.
So, for that reason, it does have it, but I've never run into an issue. And what I heard is if you take, like, 8 like chicken heads, for example, and you put them all in line on a track, you'll mm-hmm. create like this weird delay thing. Some weird shit where like it trips like the delay compensation to like create a delay.
Okay, gotcha.
It's weird. I don't know. Yeah. Luca told me about it. He's like,
I don't know about that one.
I'm gonna put 8 delay. I don't know if I want to go through those lengths to create a delay when I have plenty of weird delays that can do all types of weird shit. Like,
yeah,
I doubt it's gonna be that insane, but it is cool to know that like you could trip up the delay compensation to create a delay, which is kind of
that's cool. Actually kind of cool though
to say, because we're like audio nerds, so like we're like, haha, we fucked for with me, you thought you were gonna fuck us, but we got a delay out of it.
We figured it out.
So
we figured out what you didn't want us to inevitably have to deal with, but we did it.
Exactly.
Yeah,
so you should get the APB just to try it at least.
I know, I really want to try it because as you could tell, like I got a ton of gear here.
You do have gear.
We've got nice monitors, we've got HDX and everything, but as soon as I heard about the APB, I first heard about it at IMSTA, SAE here in West Hollywood. Well, SAE's not here anymore, but, realistically speaking, like I remember, what's his name? Not Colin, the rep from McDSP.
Colin. Yeah. And there's Luca, who's the younger guy. Yeah. Out here.
So Colin is the one that showed me at first, and like it was such a far-fetched idea to me at the time. I'm like, I'm curious to try this. I emailed him, didn't hear back, no hard feelings, whatever. But now that I'm seeing more people using them, like, so this legitimately is actually doing something cool.
I had the same thought. When I saw it at NAMM, I was like, nope.
Yeah, right? Like, at first, you kind of pass it off.
I don't care what this box does. I'm not finna fuck with it. But...
And the price point is very expensive.
I mean, the version, the one that I have, the 16, mm-hmm. is like $7,000? Almost $7,000?
Yeah.
So, it's expensive.
Yeah.
The smaller the 8 is like 35 mm-hmm. around there. But what I will say now that I have it is that it's totally fucking worth it because if you think about it, you have just in that API lunchbox, you probably have, I don't know, $4,000 worth of equipment.
So we got 2 APIs. They're each, I think, what are they, like $900 each? So there's 18. 2 retros are about like 12 each, so 24. So we're at like...
We're at four grand
right there. We got 2 EQ4s. They're like $849 each, so about 17. So 57. If I sell my API rack, I got an APB 16.
Exactly, an APB 16. And guess what? No recalls, none of that. Obviously,
that's what appeals to me.
But that's not a choice that you would say, okay, like, that's not the perfect choice to say. I choose between that and that. But it's an example of to like, show you.
You can get a few pieces or you can get perfect recalls.
Perfect recalls, and in the high speed type shit we work in, recalls are a bitch, and you damn near need an assistant because the last thing you want is to be sitting there and it's like, pull up a song. Like, they'll call you and be like, yo, we need a clean made of this version. Cool. So you open it up, you recall, and then someone else calls you, yo, can you reprint this with this? Oh, sure. You finish this, you stop. You recall everything to this guy's shit now. That takes you 15, 20 minutes. Then, boom, you're back. You're mixing. Oh, I gotta do, can you, oh, this other person's like, oh, can you reprint that? Fuck. So you go back to the set, like, it's a lot to do all that. If you can get by with the APB, then...
Yeah, that's why half the time I tell people, like, when you're using hardware inserts and things like that, just commit.
I think it's also, like, if you use the retro all the time and you know the sound, like, it's your shit, it's going to be hard to replace that with the APB. Yeah. But as someone who, like, for me, like, I'm not a huge gearhead. Like, I was in the box for the most part. 1073 CO1B is my mic chain now. It used to be API LA2A. So I, like, the gear that I fucked with was selective. You know, I'm not a super gearhead who's going to be like, oh, did you know in 1986 this
piece no.
of gear came? I don't know about any of that shit, and I really don't care because, like,
and to be honest,
my life is so fast-paced with shit and the mixing and all this stuff that it's like the simpler, cleanest, most fluid route is the best route for me.
Exactly.
Once you start getting into all this extra shit, like, I really don't have time for that. Imagine if it took me a whole day to mix one song that had 20, 30 tracks in it.
You know, it's funny because, like, if you notice, I don't have any vintage gear.
Yeah, you have all, like, new gear.
Yeah, it's, like, CL-1Bs, Aurora 1073s, like, you know, the API, Chandler. You know, nothing really vintage.
Yeah, no.
But it's funny because, like, half the time people are talking about, like, oh, well, you get a certain sound from the vintage unit. And, you know, to a level, they're right, but it's not like I couldn't achieve a good sound before that.
Yeah, and it's, like, when it comes all the way down to it, because where it matters is...
With the consumer, result.
Right?
Yeah.
In the result, there is no one that's going to fucking be like, oh, well, they didn't use a vintage compressor on that string in the back, so yeah. The song is trash. Like, it's y'all are just, like, fighting over here amongst yourselves while we're just getting all the shit
done. Yeah, it's like, look, Project was done, like, 6 months ago. You're complaining about this way behind schedule.
Yeah, like, people get too technical. What I'm saying is people get too, like, technical, and it's like, and they lose sight of just how free, music is free. Music is freedom. Music is fun.
Yeah.
You know, it should not be like we're sitting here writing down minus 0.02 dB if I take the delay and then do this and do that. Like, just stop.
The input was at 835.
How does it feel?
Yeah.
Does it feel dope? Does it feel good?
Yep.
Like, use your heart. To sound corny, like, use your heart. Use your heart, like, literally just feel it out.
Yo, that was one of our last episodes that we aired. It was Mix With Your Heart, Not Your, I think, computer or whatever. Like, and the funny thing is, because half the time, some people will, like, they'll get a nice, clean mix, but there's no feeling in it.
There's no feeling.
And you're just like, okay, like, it's clean, but I don't really care for it.
Those people should just be doctors and lawyers, because that's where that shit
makes accountants.
Sense. Or accountants. Because that's where it makes sense. That's where that, you can't account shit with feeling.
Yeah.
Like, if I was an accountant, I'd be like, oh, well, I felt that was pretty businessy. I sent an email while I was eating it so I could write that off. Like, you can't operate with feeling when you're doing these type of things. You have to operate with, like, logic and knowledge and facts.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? Our world is freedom and fun.
Yeah.
You know, like, just the other day, like, yesterday I did this mix and I had so much fun mixing it. I was, like, dancing and I was smoking and I was like, singing along while I'm mixing it and shit. And then they were like, oh, we love the mix. It was the best. Like, it was the best mix we ever heard on this song or blah, blah. And I was like, you know, I just had the time of my life.
Yeah.
Like, I just had fun. I was smoking and just, like, having fun.
Dude, and that's the reality. Like, half the time when we're actually, like, trying to figure out, like, all right, what does this mix need? We're listening to it for the first time.
Oh,
and if it's
totally.
If we resonate with the record, the mix tends to come out better.
Way better.
Yeah.
I like mixing records that I think are good songs. Like, wow, I would listen to this song. It's good.
Like, I hate to say that I became more selective over time with my clients.
I did,
But I did because, like, I started mixing a bunch of records I really didn't care for.
Yeah, exactly.
And, like, the mixes were cool, but, like, you know, I'd get a bunch of revision notes. It's
not that you don't do a bad job, but there's no love.
Exactly.
There's no feeling. You're just like, okay, I could, might as well just be working at McDonald's. Like, it's like...
Yeah. If I wanted to do something I didn't enjoy, I would go do something else.
Something you love to do. It's fun, you know, or, like, someone you believe in. Especially, like, the stuff you believe in is obviously all... Like, if you're working with someone and they're paying you, but you're like, this guy sucks, it's going to be a lot harder to mix that shit because you don't even have any belief in this guy to be able to do anything. You know what I mean?
You're like, just get him done. He'll never make anything of it. But versus, like, where there's a dope record you believe in, you're like... Yo, like, this record could go. Like, this shit is dope. Like, I believe in this.
Yeah, I believe in this. I'm going to go the extra mile to do just everything on this one.
Oh, yeah.
I want this to be the biggest thing ever. It's just, those are the records that you want to be a part of because that's where you're going to be your best true self.
Oh, yeah. So, I know you've been making a lot of changes moving forward and everything. I know you're now on the engineer's website, which indie artists can now book you through that site. What's coming up next for you? Like, what's going on?
Shit. So, Chris's album and then just continue mixing and moving. You know, I have created a record label called Ice Cream Sonics.
Yeah, I saw that. I remember.
Yeah, with a friend of mine. And basically what we did is we went to OG Parker and we were like, yo, let's put some music out under your name.
Mm-hmm.
We'll do like a team thing, like my shit and your shit. And we'll get a distribution deal and we'll put out records that have your production with major artists as features.
Yeah.
So the first record that we have coming out is a record called Rain Down with mm-hmm. Chris Brown, Mulatto, PMB Rock, and Leighton Green.
Nice.
So the record's crazy. OG Parker produced it. Hitmaker, mm-hmm. Krishan, all of them were a part of it.
Dope.
And Goldie as well. And then so we gave it to Parker, and we're just basically doing distro through Empire and nice. Putting this shit out. So it's like a passion of mine is also to have more creative type role.
Yeah.
And I feel like with stuff like that, it's the creative and the business as well. Stuff that I'm not used to. It's like when I'm engineering, it's so technical. And then when we're doing like this label shit, it's like, oh, let's think of cool marketing ideas. And let's, you know, stuff that's outside of what I'm doing on a daily basis. So like, and it's all around music, which is what I know. Because that's another thing is like, you might be passionate about something and not know shit about it.
Definitely. Right? Yeah, yeah.
So this is something that I'd be passionate about and I know about the music business. The only thing mm-hmm. is now I'm getting introduced to all these business things that I'm now learning. Stuff that's even beyond the business, stuff that I already knew.
Yeah.
Because my knowledge of the music business side was POs, payments, producer agreements, writer agreements, publishing deals.
Exactly, like the basics.
All the stuff that I deal with on a daily basis. Credits.
Yeah.
Are these splits pre-sample? Is there mm-hmm. a sample in the track?
Yeah.
Is the sample a master sample or an interpolation? Because that makes a difference. You know what I'm saying? If it's interpolation, they're only getting pub. If it's a master sample, you have to give them a piece of the master as well. So all these things are stuff that I've been learning over the years, and now it's just a normal part of like the lingo, especially working with Chris, who I pretty much do all the communication with the label when it comes to from the music getting recorded to mix to getting mastered to turn into the label, and then all the credits, everyone that was involved, me calling the producer, yo, who did you produce this with? Oh, I produced it with so and so. All right, cool. Did he use any samples? Oh, yeah, I don't think he used any samples, and I didn't either. All right, cool. There's no samples. Boom. Cool. They actually have to sign a waiver.
Yeah.
If there's no, every producer has to sign a waiver with the label that says, I did not use any samples. And that means that if there is a sample and the person wants to sue, that waiver protects the label.
Yeah. Now, they'll sue that producer.
They'll sue the producer. Now, if there is a sample, obviously you're not signing that waiver. You guys are doing the sample shit. But they actually make them sign it because if a producer says, yes, there are no samples and he's lying.
Yeah. Then that's on him.
That's on him and it does not cut. So this is all stuff that, as an engineer that works at a studio, you may not know, but as you start to grow and you start to really like level up, you start to have to learn these things because they become like your daily thing, apart from still recording vocals and apart from setting up the microphone and taking the trash out. You know what I mean?
Yeah. That's why I always tell the interns here, you know, I'm not going to teach you just how to run Pro Tools. I'm going to teach you how to run a business.
Yeah.
Because in the end, we're working for ourselves sometimes. We work for others, but
there's a lot more than just running Pro Tools.
Exactly.
It's studio etiquette. Yeah. Knowing how to be in the room, knowing people fuck with you, like, you got to be that energy that are people are like, trust you too.
Exactly.
And that comes with confidence, which you don't really have any in the very beginning. You're just kind of like, whatever they tell me to do, I'll just do it. And now it's like, oh, I want to do this. Well, shit, you can't record there because there's a fan right above your head. So maybe let's do it over here. So it's like having the confidence to like tell people that like, yo, and they're like, wow, this guy knows what he's doing.
Yeah.
That is a great sign of someone that's
really awesome. Moving forward.
Exactly. Yeah. So for sure.
Well, shit. Well, yeah, man. I know you got more mixes to get done and everything, so I'm not going to take up too much of your time. I appreciate you coming through, but let me ask you this. I know people have expressed interest in us doing some master classes here or holding seminars. Would you be interested in doing something like
that? Definitely. Let me know.
We'll do some shit. Like, we'll let people know. We'll send out, like, emails and figure something out with you.
We could even do, like, a thing where, like, I bring, like, a session and I open it here. Like,
bro, that'd be perfect. Mix,
then we just, like,
we'll put the PMCs in here for that since I know you're a PMC user. Yeah,
PMC for life. I heard the ATCs. They're cool, but I haven't figured them out yet.
It took me a little bit. I'll be honest. I brought in a mix the first time I heard them because they belonged to DK before I bought them from him.
Got it.
And I was like, wow, there's certain things in my mix I never heard before that I really don't like anymore.
Got it.
And then when we were bouncing back and forth between monitors shopping for a new one because we tried Amphion, we tried another one.
I don't like it.
Amphion's very different, you know? And I'll be honest, like, whoever that rep dude that we met was... Not a cool dude. Bro, so he didn't sell us on a personality sense either.
Who stole Amphion's top end? Somebody ran off with their top end. I was listening. I was at Bain Studio and they had the small ones.
Yeah.
Bro, I thought, I don't know what I thought. I was.
You're like, this is different.
Bain's, let me call Spider really quick and get him to come over here with some fucking PMCs.
Yeah. Dude, Spider's such a cool cat.
Now, I did hear the Amphions that are bigger, the stats, mm-hmm. at Jess's house.
Yeah.
And those actually I wasn't
mad. Yeah, but with the matching sub and everything.
With the matching sub stacks and everything, I wasn't mad. That one wasn't hating on it. Yeah. And I'm not one to hate. I'm just one to point out when I'm really, because, so that's why I'll tell you, the big stacks, I was not mad at them. They did not sound dynamic. It sounded kind of flat.
Gotcha.
But I'm not going to trip. It still had top end. It's the smaller ones that are like, I don't know, this big, the MP, it's just a
one, oh, the 115 or?
Yeah, the small one.
Yeah, yeah.
Those, they was just very mid-rangey and not any top, not any scissor.
Yeah. We had those, I believe, last time we saw each other at NAMM, you were actually doing a clinic, and they had those as the speakers there. They had that stack.
Where was it?
The over at NAMM.
Oh, but was I using them?
Yeah, but it was for the demo thing. You know,
I remember.
And I remember listening to them, and it didn't seem like they could handle a lot of SPL either. So they're very specific to the user kind of speakers.
For sure.
You know, I don't think I could put them in a commercial room. I think they'd blow too hard.
People would go push them too hard. Yeah. They're not speakers that you blow, you know, they're delicate. And like all speakers, to be honest, I wouldn't have ATC sitting in a room where a producer's going to be just boom, back.
Yeah.
Because he's going to destroy them. They're not.
What I have in the back of the
take massive loads like Augsburger.
Exactly.
Those are meant to be hit. These speakers are meant to, like, it's like a pristine Porsche.
Exactly.
It's delicate. And then the Augsburgers are like a fucking Lamborghini SV. And
you're you can floor it.
It's a brand new car.
Oh, yeah.
This is like a delicate old wine that you know, the PMCs are just like, it's just nothing that sounds like them. People come to my studio and they hear them and they're like, I haven't heard music like this. Where it's just so clear, like you just don't get that clarity.
Yep.
You know, in real life, because you don't.
No.
The PMC's top end is insane. And now I'm so used to it, I can't listen to anything else.
Yeah, that's why I'm like, even though I have the ACC 45s, I'm still really considering the 226s.
Yeah.
Yeah.
At least listen to them.
No, I did. I did the test between the IB1Ss versus the 226s.
And you liked them.
I liked the 226s. Like, I'm like, for sure, if I don't get the IB1Ss, I'd buy the 226s any day.
Get the 226s and a sub. Like, I have in that room.
Mm-hmm. Dude, that'd be perfect.
Yeah, but see, those IBSs would actually be good in... they'd be good in here. Yeah, they sound better than fucking JBLs.
I mean, don't get me wrong. It's not a shot at JBL, but I turn them off on purpose.
No, there is no shot to JBL because it's like JBL is just like such on a consumer level. That it's like taking shots would be like Amphion, ATC, PMC.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, JBL is just like
you can get loud with them.
You can go loud.
Yeah.
Like that's not even in the running with all these other speakers. These are just like beat 'em up Scotty type.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
Like, you get the matching sub for it, and that's what's shaking your walls.
Yeah, and producers love it. It bangs. It's bright. It's that. But don't get in front of them.
Exactly. But shit.
Thank you for your time, bro.
Thank you for yours, man.
Hell yeah. I fucking had fun. We were just chopping it up, talking shit.
1, 2, 3.
If you'd like to take advantage of my free guides and online videos, please check out links.dkmixes.com. That's links.dekeimixes.com. Is episodes once a week not enough for you, or are you looking for more technical information from the Mixing Music Podcast? Well, guess what? Now you can. You can subscribe to our exclusive content and triple the amount of episodes that you get access to. That's right. Instead of the free once a week episodes, you get 3 episodes a week for only $4 a month or $40 a year. Go to mixingmusicpodcast.com/exclusive to get access to those episodes now.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5HETIDE.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5HETIDE.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.